All right, turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. To get us started, we're going to read verses 3 and 4, and then go over to chapter 4. Paul is writing his last epistle of the 13 that he would write. He's in a prison cell. The next thing on his schedule will be death for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You go over to chapter 4 and you look at verse 7. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I plead again this morning for the filling of the Holy Ghost of God, that as I preach, your word would go forth in power to every heart. God, deal with us. Deal with us about being good soldiers of Jesus Christ in this hour. And Lord, we'll thank you as you work upon our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the offertory, the song was "Onward, Christian Soldiers." I have no doubt that you recognize that. It happens to be one of the most controversial of all the hymns that we have in our hymn book. If you were to get on the internet, you would find different dates that they say it was written. Some say it was written in 1864. Some say it was written in 1865. Others say it was written in 1871. Well, one of those must be true, because we know whatever the internet says is true. But from the time it was written, it really became more popular within conservative churches who realized the responsibility of the church and the believers in the church to go to battle against Satan to win the lost to Jesus Christ. For Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God." And then he reminds us that we are in a battle with the devil. There is an invisible war that is going on. And God's people have a responsibility. There were people in the Bible that were warriors. David was obviously a warrior. He began fighting long before he was a king. And of course, his most famous story in taking the stand even before he entered the army against Goliath, the hero of the Philistines. And you got Joshua and his leading God's people into battles. Well, we've come in our time to another Veterans Day where we have honored those who served in our armed forces in a number of just cause. We remember those who have served our nation so faithfully. Now, that's not to say that everybody who has served in the military has been good. That's not to say that everybody that's been in the military has served with the right heart for their country. I mean, that would be ridiculous to even make such an offer. Obviously, there have been people who got in one way or another, and their motives were totally wrong and even did wrong things. However, thank God for those who served to help keep us free, who bought our freedom. For people who don't want to remember those who served, you don't have a clue what kind of a country you'd be in today if we didn't have our military and those that served through the past. As Paul neared the end of his life and was languishing in a Roman prison, close to his death, he took steps to ensure that Timothy understand that being a soldier for Christ was extremely important. We're not talking about serving in the armed services. The reality is, in back in those times, a soldier would take a physical sword and stab a living person and make them dead. But in our times, we take a living sword, the Word of God, and we stab dead people, those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, and we make them alive. Amen. Because you see, there is life in Jesus Christ. Paul would say to Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. It does not end with our enlistment, for you see, our enlistment does not end. When we chose Him, it is forever, for He gives everlasting life. But I believe that He lets us know of five qualities of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ in the Lord's army. And let me give them to you. Number one, He follows. He has to know how to follow. For some reason, we live in a day where everybody wants to do their own thing. But there has to be a common cause, even for a nation. There must be a common cause. And when they lose that, you end up with anarchy if you're not careful. In the church, there must be a common cause. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us that cause. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have a divine responsibility to take the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to a lost and dying world. Now, to be a good soldier in Christ's army, first of all, you've got to join. You don't become a part of any army without being part of the army. And you better be in the right army. The truth is, you're serving something. You might be serving yourself. You might be serving the devil. You might be serving the world. Or you can be serving Christ. No one can be a good soldier of the Lord until first they know Jesus Christ as Savior. Bible says in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And by the way, whatever you join in a physical army, you have to wear a uniform. Until, as with some of the people who are at the front, can't get in it anymore, you'll notice that they wore their, a bunch of them wore their uniforms. It identified them as to what they were. We live in a day, however, where a bunch of Christians want to look as much like the world as the world, as if they're trying to go incognito, undercover, lest somebody think they're a Christian. But Christians are supposed to look differently and act differently than the world. And I don't have time to go through all the verses of that today, but why is it that so many Christians are afraid of being identified as Christians in their look and in their outward actions? We are a peculiar people. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Not only that, it implies rank. What do you mean by that, preacher? I'm not talking about sergeant and major, things like that. I'm talking about knowing what it is you're supposed to be doing and doing it. You know, among the people that were in the armed forces that are here, they had different jobs in the armed forces. They had different things that they were to do. We've had got people in our church that used to explode, blow up things. That was their job, man. They blew things up. Then you got other people that trained other soldiers, and you got other people that they all did different things. The thing is, for them to be effective in what they did in the physical army or Navy or Air Force or whatever, they had to know what their job was. I mean, an army that doesn't know where the people don't know what their job is, they're not going to have much chance of winning anything. And the reality is, for the Lord's army, we need to understand what our place is in the Lord's army and do it. Amen. Now, there's the overall thing where we all have the responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. But according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we also have gifts that are to be used in our service for God within the local assembly of believers, within the church. A lot of people don't know their rank. They don't know what they're to do. We could take time today, and I don't have the time to do it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about different gifts given within the church. Get this. We were not saved to sit. We were all saved to serve. And we have different responsibilities within the body of Christ. And thank God we have got a guidebook. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, in any military, they've got, first of all, a code of ethics and a code of action within each branch of the service. And then within the different jobs or different divisions that they would have within the service, there are going to be other books that they've got, different things that they're supposed to do, what their job is in the military. Well, thank God, we've all got the same book. And it's this book right here. The psalmist said, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There are a lot of Christian groups today that want to use this book as though it's a cafeteria. That you can go through and pick out what you like, and what you don't like, you can just leave. No, this is all God's word. And we are responsible to walk in obedience to all of God's word. There are special promises for those who obey His word. He says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God told His people they were to obey His word. In the book of Deuteronomy. And He said to Israel, before they ever got into the land, He said, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye will obey the commands which I command you this day. A curse if ye will not obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, but go after other gods which ye have not known. Now, I know when you start talking about commands, there are people who want to jump up and say, well, preacher, that's in the Old Testament. Oh, and there's a lot about commandments in the Old Testament. But I just double dog dare you to get in your Bible this afternoon and look at how many times the word commands and commandments are found in the New Testament. Let me just show you one. Go over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And I want you to notice how in one of the very last books of the Word of God that was given to mankind, written some 60 years after Jesus died on the cross, how God referred to His word and our love for Him. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, He says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Now notice verse 3 very carefully. He says, for this is the love of God. We've got a definition verse right here. This is the love of God. What is the love of God? Notice He says that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Now, you talk to a lot of Christians today, you get this idea that if you're living to obey God's word, that's your desire, that you're putting yourself under a heavy bondage. And yet Jesus Christ obeyed all the word of God. There was not one verse in the Bible that Jesus felt was so insignificant that He didn't have to obey it or wouldn't obey it. He obeyed every bit of the Word of God, and He loved the Word of God. You don't find any part of the Word of God that Jesus didn't like. Now that tells me something about people who disdain the obedience to the Word of God. Don't misunderstand. We don't obey the Word of God in order to go to heaven. We obey the Word of God because we're going to heaven. I know that God's Word is truth, that God's Word is right about anything that He says anything about. In our actions with one another, how we dress, how we speak, the things that we do, we are to do right. We're to walk in obedience to His Word. And God says, if you love Him, you'll do it. A good soldier of Jesus Christ, first of all, he must be a follower. Paul would say to his people, follow me even as I also follow Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Not only that, he's to be faithful. Let's go back to the passage wherein we began. Notice he says in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. In verse 7 of chapter 4, at the end of the verse, he says, I have kept the faith. He's to be faithful. We're to be faithful in our patience, steadfast. You know, a soldier has to endure hardship. And the soldiers will tell you, especially when they're facing any type of a war, whether it be something like Gulf War I or Gulf War II or any type of a war, the soldier doesn't know how long it's going to take. And sometimes they get word that how long they're going to be deployed or supposed to be deployed at a certain place. But sometimes it has to be longer than that. And a lot of times, it's not an easy existence during that time, but they are expected to be faithful in their place. Whatever happened, how soft has the church gotten to think that somehow God's supposed to make everything easy for us? It's never been that way in church history. Things are not easy. The world's going to make it tough. The devil's going to make it tough if you're what you ought to be as a born-again believer. You can count on it. Our job is to be faithful. Let me tell you, the missionaries that we remember, the missionary stories that we like to read, are the ones who went through some of the hardest hardships known to mankind, but they stayed faithful right unto the end. Those are the ones people write books about, not those people that quit every time the going gets tough. The reality is, believers are to remain faithful in their patience, not only that, faithful in their priorities. I mean, God hasn't changed His priorities. We are to be faithful to Him, and we don't get to stop just because things aren't going like we like it to go. We're expected to stay faithful to Him. And we're to guard the truth of God's faith. I want you to turn over to the book of Jude just a moment. Jude. You say, what chapter? Well, any one of them you can just find. That's fine. Doesn't make a bit of difference. Says the same thing in every chapter in the book of Jude. Now, if you found it, you found out there's only one. Notice he says, beginning in verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Do you understand that there's not several different faiths that take you to heaven? There is only one, and we are to contend for it. Amen. There is only one gospel that saves people. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, he even gives us the definition of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. He speaks of the gospel wherein you're saved. He says, and then he defines it. He says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The gospel has always been what it still is today, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's God's complete work for our salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you preach any other gospel, you preach a false gospel. There is only one Savior that saves. That's Jesus Christ, according to His own word. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." He's it. There's no other way there. Muhammad doesn't take anybody to heaven. He can't take anybody to heaven. Those that believe on Muhammad to go to heaven are going to burn in hell for eternity. There aren't going to be 70 virgins waiting for them. They're going to be burning in hell for eternity. You say, "Preacher, is this going out over sermon audio?" Yeah. Amen. It will. It'll be on. Aren't you scared of what? The gospel? Right. You say, "But there are people that would want to kill you for saying things like..." Yeah, I know it. They've been wanting to do that throughout the entire church age. Christians have gone to their death as martyrs because they wouldn't back down from the truth. If we love our lives more than we love the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, then maybe we don't know Him so well. There's one gospel that saves. It's all wrapped up in the Son of God Himself, Jesus Christ. Not only that, not only is a good soldier to be a follower and to be faithful, but also familiar. He knows his commander's voice. You say, who is our commander? Well, let's take a look. Go over to the book of John just a minute. John chapter 10, first of all. John chapter 10. Notice he begins by saying in verse, we'll begin in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep, notice this, hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. When someone comes along and preaches a different Jesus, we know that's the voice of a stranger. When they preach a different gospel, we know that's the voice of a stranger. It doesn't make any difference how smooth their words may be or how flashy their presentation may be. The gospel is still always the same. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. We know his voice because his voice always speaks in exact accord with God's word. Go over to verse 27, same chapter. Jesus is speaking. He said, my sheep, notice, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now wait just a moment. His voice is right here. If you're listening for voices in the night and a dream speaking to your ear, you better be careful about that. His voice is right here. This is God's word. It is his completed revelation. His voice is not the commentaries. His voice is his word. This is how we hear his voice. Whatever he says in here is true and is right. The psalmist said, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. But you see, the strategy of the enemy is to get us sidetracked into different missions, different things to do. Like, let's go out and feed the world. Now, that sounds very noble, but friend, that's not the job of the church. The job of the church is to spread the gospel to the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If we could feed the whole world for 20 years and they all died and went to hell, we didn't do our job. And we would face the judgment of the Lord Jesus for not being obedient to his word. Now, the Bible says that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And that many times his ministers have made themselves, I'm talking about the devil's ministers, as angels of light. How are you going to know the difference with so many different voices out there? Right here, his word. Amen. The thing is, the devil's been so slick to get a lot of people to accept all kinds of things as Bibles when there's only one Bible. I mean, you've got people who actually carry something like the Living Bible around, which is not a Bible and it's not living. It does not give the words of God. You realize that the Living Bible, when it was first done by Ken Taylor, he was simply rewording the King James Version of the Bible to try to give something to make it easier for his kids to read. And all he did was paraphrase. It's not the words of God. It's the words of Ken Taylor's version of what God said. If you want to know what he said, read the book. So what about all these different translations? You realize in the last 110 years, there have been over 100 English versions of the Bible translated. Over 100. And each time their excuse is so it'll be easier to be understood. Listen, this book doesn't need to be rewritten. It just needs to be reread. I mean, the more you read it, the more you'll understand if you're a saved person. I was at my chiropractor a while back, and the guy came in. He says, you know, this young lady just got saved, and I'm trying to be a help to her. What Bible do you think I ought to give her? And the chiropractor, of course, he knows me. He knows where I stand on a lot of things. And he said, Brother Allison, you tell him what you think about that. And I said, she needs the King James Bible. Amen. He said, well, she'll never understand that. Well, she won't if she doesn't read it. But you start reading it, you understand. I mean, after all, you got all the ETH words, you know, the commendeth and parteth. Do you really have trouble with that? Does anybody really have trouble with that?
No.
Oh, but thee and thou, that's really difficult. But that just means you. There, I solved all your problems right there. You say, are you saying, preacher, you understand all the words in the Bible? No, but I got a dictionary. Go to the dictionary, it'll tell you what it says. If you don't understand a word in English, dictionary will help you. But read it. You must be in the Word of God. Again, the words of Jesus. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Job said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. That's what he said of the Word of God. He was in it all the time, what he had. And we're to be in it all the time. God's Word. Man, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Not only that, one thing every soldier is to do, he's to be a fighter. A soldier's got to be willing to stand and fight, or he's not much good as a soldier. If he's not going to stand for what's right, then what on earth is he in the military for? And you're going to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about taking people and smacking them with your fist. I'm talking about standing for the truth of the Word of God. That's one of the reasons, by the way, why I'm not a big fan of these Bible studies where anybody who believes anything can come in and all share what they've got. No, sir, buddy, if it's contrary to the Word of God, we're going to stand up against it. That's what the Apostle Paul did. When they followed him around in Acts chapter 15, there were people that came in where Paul had been, and they were teaching that the folks had to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised according to the law of Moses. And Paul said, we had no small disputation with them. That means there was a row about it. You're not bringing false doctrine in here. We're going to stand on the truth of the Word of God, and we're going to fight for the truth. He says, endure thou hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, why on earth would he liken his people to be soldiers? We live in a day, we've gotten so soft. We have gotten so soft. And part of that just simply has to do with we like to live in the virtual reality worlds on computers instead of the real world. And for those who don't have the computers, and give them the booze and give them the drugs so that they can zone out from the real world. But friend, we live in a real world. We live in a sinful world. We live in a wicked world. We live in a world where the reality is if people die without having been born again, they burn in a sinner's hell for eternity. And our job isn't here to play. He didn't leave us behind to play. He left us behind to work for Him in getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray the Spirit of God would deal with our hearts this morning. We ought to be standing for the truth of Your Word. We ought to be standing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to be standing for sound doctrine. We ought to be standing and serving according to Your Word. Now, Lord, if there's one here without Jesus, I pray they'd come to Christ today and be saved. We pray, Heavenly Fathers, for a believer. Dear God, may we take up the challenge. May we stand in a world that's accepted so much wickedness and mess and false doctrine. May we be a people who stand for thus saith the Lord and not be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Have Your way in lives today, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.